I was not sure what to do with the scriptures or which direction to take this sermon this morning, and I was kind of wondering about a couple of different things, and I'd written some things out, and I was wondering where to go. And then, you know, God just has a kind of a way of pushing me in a particular direction sometimes, and I got this letter in the mail this week here at church, and it was a letter and addressed to, handwritten. It says, the pastor and all members, capital A, double underlined in red. It has no return address on the letter. It is stamped from Columbus, Ohio, and I don't know if it comes at the initiation of someone who knows me and this church, or if this is some kind of blanket address to the larger church. I assume that the sender, with capital A and double underlined in red, was afraid that I might hide the contents of this envelope from you. And given the letter's contents printed on this pink leaflet, which I have, there were three copies of, so you can see it if you want after the service. And when I read it, I struggled profoundly for about half a second before I looked at Pam and I said, you know, this is going to end up in a sermon, right? So without further ado, for all of you, capital A, double underlined in red, I would like to give you what the letter says and let you make up your mind and discern for yourself what truth there may be found in it. The Lord God speaks to the Christians. Wake up, America. That's us. My judgment, this is the Lord speaking now, my judgment of this sinful world is here, and you are still sleeping. Did the preachers tell you to relax because you are safe forever? Those preachers are lying. I, the Lord, never said so. Jesus, my son, never said so. Who will suffer? Every man or woman who spent their time breaking my laws. Who will be saved? Every man or woman who learned my laws and who have been doing their best to please me. Which of those two groups do you belong to? This is my final warning. There is only one way to avoid the coming disaster. Apologize to me for the past and change your behavior. Start now, because my judgment will come like a thief in the night, and there will be no escape for anyone in any country. Run away from your lying preachers now, before I strike and declare the end of the world. If you don't, you will perish like all the others. Jesus did not come to save you. He came to teach you how to save yourself. So wake up, Christian people, says your God. Don't join the foolish ones. Don't copy what others do just to be in the crowd. For the truth, go for the truth in the book of God's law and do what it says. Your time is almost up. Listen to me, said Jesus. All of you, capital A, double underlined in red, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. I don't know about, well, I'm going to go on a personal rant now, okay? So I'm going to label it as that and give you a warning, okay? But when I look around me right now, recently, at the world and at our nation, I'm just tired of the yelling. I'm tired of the fear, of the demonizing, of the belittling, and the accusing of the other. All to accomplish one's own agenda, to force, to bully, to manipulate. Like the author of this flyer, I am tired of the lying, of the misdirection, of speaking and acting as adversaries instead of as brothers and sisters seeking truth. Quite honestly, recently I struggle with a growing anger about the way things are. By the way, lest you think I'm speaking about one side of the political spectrum, or I am not. Extremes on both sides are guilty of these kinds of sins. But we have issues to address. We have problems to solve as individuals, as families, in our communities and in our world. And we need to work together. We need to look inside. Honestly, at ourselves. And we need to see our neighbor for who they are instead of looking for weaknesses to exploit. We need to be family in the best sense of that word if we are to move forward positively. Instead, we have voices louder and louder that are just like this leaflet, who counsel running from each other and denouncing each other instead of coming together. So that's my personal rant. And I'm not afraid to share this leaflet with you. You now have two rants. You have my rant, and you have this rant. And I invite you to let the Spirit lead you to discover truth. You are free to run out of here if you want, as this leaflet counsels. Dean, before this, in the first service, he said, I was about to run, but I hurt my knee, so I decided to wait till after the service was over. Just kidding, he said. You are free to run if you want. Just don't run anybody over on the way out. Or you are invited to stick around and share your perspective, to bring your experience, to teach this preacher, and to stick around for the benefit of us all. We need each other. I believe. It might surprise you to hear that I agree with how this leaflet ends. I would also proclaim to you what this leaflet says. Don't join the foolish ones. Don't copy what others do just to be in the crowd. Go for the truth in the book of God's law and do what it says. I agree with that. I agree with that for us as Christians, as people of faith. We go to this book for truth. This is God's law. But it's not law as in a collection of regulations and rules that we mindlessly and slavishly follow without thinking and discerning. This is God's law in the biblical sense. That is, it's God's instruction. God's teaching, God's life-giving word, expressed in limited human language, yes, expressed in the context and circumstances of human history, yes, but in this instruction is proclaimed deep and profound and abiding truth. And what this truth gives us is a way forward. It counsels a path that can guide and strengthen us as we seek a way forward together, as individuals, in our relationships, and in our communal living together. Look at our passages today. They both do the same thing. They counsel us to look inside. In order to deal with life, we need to look inside, both James and Jesus say. You know, we sometimes have a tendency to begin on the outside when we think of all the challenges we face and all the problems in our lives and our relationships. We first look outside. I'm going to blame them or you or that circumstance. In our relationships, when there's a problem, when we struggle, we want to control the other person. We think we know better for them, even with good intentions. Would you just do that for me? You got to behave this way. You have to give me this. In our politics, we can't compromise because we know better and because we don't want to lose to them. In our financial lives, we want to accumulate and gather as much money as we can so that we are not at the mercy of our financial circumstances. If I just get enough money, I can feel safe. I don't have to worry about the external things. I have control over my world, and when I control that which goes outside, everything outside, I'll be happy. But in all these things, the gospel tells us, ultimately we end up frustrated. Have you ever tried to control that which is beyond your control? When we look outside first, we too easily end up in codependent relationships that exacerbate our problems rather than solve them. Instead, Jesus and James tell us to look inside first. And when we look inside, we will see two things. When we face our problems, if we look inside first, the first thing that we might see is our own brokenness, our own struggle, our own accountability for the way things are in our lives and in our world. That is why we come here and have a prayer of confession every week, because we do have a share in the brokenness of the world. And I do cause a lot of the grief in my life. You know, I was very late this morning for the first service, and I would have loved to just say, you know, Carrie, it's your fault. Or the easiest one is the kid's fault. You can always blame them. I wish I could have blamed them, but it wasn't that way. If I look inside, it was my fault. So we confess our brokenness, and we honestly grapple with our own share in the way things are. And then we receive that assurance of pardon. And God picks us up and dusts us off and gives us a nudge in a new direction and shows us grace. That's grace with a capital G, underlined, double underlined in red. But that's not the only thing when we see, when we look inside first. James tells us when we look inside, we also see something else. It's something that's given to us in our baptism. When you are baptized, you become a new person. And if you look in the mirror, James says, put yourselves in front of the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you will see that baptized person there. Sometimes jumping up and down, see, I'm here too. And James wants you to see, when you look in the mirror, the beautiful crown of God's creation. The beautiful person James wants you to see that God created you to be. When you look in the mirror, when you look inside first, God wants you to see yourself and your full potential. God wants you to see your new baptized self with all of your unique gifts and your one-of-a-kind beauty or handsomeness, however you want to put it. And God wants you to see your strength. James wants you to see the one that God has set free from that which seeks to control you from the outside. You are not at the mercy of your external circumstances. God has given you freedom, and God is with you deep in your soul. Just look in the mirror. And James goes further. James encourages us and says God wants you to act on that baptized person. God wants you to look at your gifts, who God wants you to be, and God wants you to shape your speech, your behavior, your ethics, your rules, what you do in the world. God wants you to base those things on the best that you are called to be. God wants you to base it on the love that God has poured in your heart and the goodness that God has enabled you to discover. I know it's not easy to point your life in that direction. It's not easy to look inside. You know, yesterday I was at the Scottish, the Celtic Games. Did any of you go to the Celtic Games yesterday? Down at the American Heritage Center. They asked me to do the opening prayer. And so I put my kilt on. No, I don't have a kilt. But I did the opening prayer, and I stayed to watch the games, and there were athletes there. And they had one of those games, I think it's called a Kegel. And they had they pick up that huge, long tree trunk. It's a piece of wood. And they try and balance it. And then when they get their balance, they throw it up and it turns, it flips over, and then the idea is to get it pointing in one direction. You want it pointed straight from where you've thrown it. The difference is how far it falls to the side. Does that make sense? Did I explain that clear? And so everybody tries it, and then the tree trunks get longer and heavier, so it's harder to flip over. So the longer and heavier they are, the more it falls to the side because you can't flip it over. Life is like that. We want to go in a particular direction, and we know where we have to go. We know the principles that we have to live by, but all our issues and our problems get heavier and they get taller, and we can no longer make it go in the direction we want. It starts falling to the side more and more. But then we encounter God's grace and God's love, capital G, capital L, double underlined in love. And God enables us to grow in faith and to come together and to discover truth. And ultimately, God tells us, the gospel tells us, it doesn't rest or depend upon you alone. It depends upon God. And when you mess up, and I know this from personal experience, believe me, my friends, God picks us up. Puts us in front of the mirror and says, look, you're not that last mistake. You are my child. I see a beautiful, wonderful creation. Go be that person that I call you to be. I've already forgotten your mistake. That's grace. If you are not baptized yet this morning, by chance, don't worry. Look inside. Look into the mirror. Look into your heart and soul, and you just might see God already at work there. And there's one little nugget before I end that James adds to the very end of the scripture passage this morning. Lest we get lost in the mirror and we focus on ourselves, and you know, when you look in the mirror for too long, hey, and we look at the positive, you know, we think it's all about us. James throws in that last little point. He says, go and be who God wants you to be and do fulfill the gospel, which is what? Go to the text. I want to get it right. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. Reach out to those who are in need. And reach out with love to yourself, to your neighbor, to your adversary, who is not really your adversary, who is your brother and sister. In love, care for those in need. Come on, we are all in this together. We are called to love. capital L, double underlined in red. Amen.